You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm your host, Jocelyn Swigger, and last summer I took time off practicing to have a baby. Maybe you can hear him. And now I'm trying to get my brain and my chops back in shape by learning the Chopin Etudes. So this is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Saturday, April 16th, and spring has kind of hit, kind of not. It's actually kind of horrible and rainy today, although the birds are chirping outside, so I don't know if you can hear those. I have to admit, I did not practice on Monday because it was incredibly beautiful. It was like 75 degrees outside. And so I ended up spreading a quilt in the backyard and hanging out with my baby and my husband, just like in the Barber Knoxville summer of 1915, which is something I sing to Ben, where it says, "On the rough wet grass of the backyard, my father and mother have spread quilts." So that was kind of fun to do that. And then right after that, my plan was to practice in the evening, but it went from being incredibly beautiful outside to being rainy and horrible. So I went from, oh, it's so nice outside, I'm not going to practice, to, oh, it's too horrible and rainy and I'm just tired and I'm not going to practice. So that was a little bit lame that I didn't practice on Monday. But the rest of the week was actually pretty good for practice. Stuff is coming, so I think I'm going to get there. There being my lesson that I have in 2 weeks with my old teacher. So where I am right now is I've been working on Opus 10 of these etudes, so there's 12 of those. So I can play kind of sloppily and not very well 10 number 1, which is this one. I can also play 10 number 4, which is this one. And I can play 10 number 5, the black key, which is this one. And number 6. Sort of. And ten number nine, which is this one. And then I'm pretty stuck and need help with 10 number 2 and 10 number 7. Number 2 is this one. Number 7 is this one with all the repeated notes. And I just started 10 number 10, this one. I don't even have it yet. There we go. And 10 number 11, which is this one. And 10 number 8, this one. Oops. That one. And I learned a long time ago 10 number 12, which is the revolutionary, this guy. And 10 number 3, this one. So I've just started relearning those. So where I am is I've been letting 10 number 1, 10 number 4, 10 number 5, 10 number 6, and 10 number 9 rest, and also 10 number 2 and 10 number 7 since I got stuck. And I've been pretty much having 10 10, 10 11, 10 8 on the front burner, and then I'm starting with 10 12 and 10, and 10 3 again. So that's kind of where I am when I'm practice, and so let me get into that. But first let me report on the performance I did last week. Last week I played with our school choir a few of the Neue Liebeslieder waltzes of Johannes Brahms. Those are for piano, four hand, and choir, and it was really fun to kind of do something that was a little bit different from Chopin. But I was complaining about Brahms being really awkward and really difficult, And I ended up doing a really nice thing, which I tell my students to do, but I sort of did it by accident, but I'll just still tell you that I did it, which is that I ended up learning the pieces at a faster tempo than I needed. I listened to a recording of Robert Shaw, because I know that the choir director, of course, really loves Robert Shaw, thinking, oh, well, he might be taking tempos that are sort of like this. But of course, Robert Shaw was working with some of the best choral singers anywhere, anytime. And so he had really, really fast tempos. So I ended up learning these pieces faster than I needed to play them. So when I got to the final rehearsal and to the concert, it was a very pleasant surprise to have some of these spots that were kind of difficult be just fine. So that's kind of something, like I said, that I tell my students to learn things faster than you want them so that when you play them at tempo, they feel good. And I haven't really been doing that with these Chopin etudes, but that might be something to think about. Anyway, it felt really good to be back on stage again. It was my first time actually performing, you know, the whole like wear black and mascara and take a bow and do the whole thing. It was my first concert since before I became a mom 9 months ago. So it was kind of a big deal to do it, but also in some ways not a big deal at all because it was, you know, forehand and with choir and it wasn't just me by myself. But it was good. It felt really good to be performing and really good to be back on stage. And that was nice because I was a little bit nervous about it beforehand. Anyway, okay, 10-8, 10-10, 10-11, 10-12, 10-3. Here's where I am. Let me start by telling you about 10-8. This is the one I'm feeling sort of most in the thick of. This is this one. And I've been feeling like the left hand, which is the one that has the big notes, where the right hand has the little notes, is the one that I kind of need to work on more, and I've been paying a little more attention to that. But I also am very aware that I need to work on the right hand too, because I've been playing it kind of sloppily. It's sort of, it's not clean and clear, so I need to put some attention towards the right hand, which I have been kind of letting it follow along. But here's a couple things that I have been working on the left hand. One is I said that I was going to memorize these transitions at the fanfare. This is the fanfare. First one's in measure 9. And the first time it does this, this is a 5 of 5. If that doesn't mean anything to you, don't worry about it. But it takes us to here, which then is going to take us back to our beginning spot. So first time it goes to 5 of 5. And then the second time it goes to a 2-6-5. And again, don't worry about the numbers if those don't mean anything to you. And this takes us back to here and here. So they both end up coming back to this chord, but they take a slightly different route. And it makes a little bit of sense in my brain that the first time it goes to here, to here, and then the second time it goes to here. And then the third time it goes to what I'm just thinking of as being the weird chord. It's like a G7 flat 5. I'm just going to call it the weird chord. So third time it goes here. And then it's going to go, and they all end up back coming to here. But that was sort of helpful to go through and look at those fanfares. So that's one thing that I put a little energy towards this week. Another thing is that I started practicing the last two pages, which have a lot of little notes that the pattern's pretty different from what's before. So it's all this kind of stuff. You can hear I didn't practice that place yet. I need to get those in there. They're not in there yet at all. But anyway, I wanted to play you kind of my mostly just the left-hand version so you can hear that this is what I don't have this memorized yet, but this is what I need to memorize to sort of understand the whole structure of the piece. So the way it would go is with all of this stuff. But let me show you just with the left hand. It's this. Here's the first fanfare. Here's the second fanfare. It's going to be in minor now. Here we go, right there, and some little notes. Oops. No, that's an A. And then here's a lot of little notes that it just kind of does this thing. There's not really any point in practicing the left hand by itself, and I haven't really done both hands together. I've actually been mostly skipping this when I need to practice it, as you can hear. But here, back to the left hand. And then here's a bunch of little notes that I'll talk to you about in a minute. So it goes on and on and on and on and on, and then it's going to finally get us to here. Harmonically, that works, trust me. So we're back to just the left. So this is just like the beginning, right? And here's the third fanfare to the weird chord. Memorize that, because all of this stuff is really just kind of frosting on top of that cake. And I also need to keep working on the last couple of pages. There's a couple of cool places. I think I've mentioned them before, but I want to show you. In measure 76, this is with all this kind of stuff. So it's a lot of little notes, as most of the piece is. But there's this great moment here with a suggested fingering of sliding from your pinky from this black key, which is an E flat, to the next white key, which is a D. So it's actually just a slide. So instead of doing separate fingers, it's just sliding, which probably doesn't sound any different on the recording, which is, of course, the whole point. So I'm teaching myself to do that. I know that Chopin sort of made it a point that you're allowed to slide from finger to from key to key once in a while. So I think this is... I'm going to take that as his fingering. There's an alternate fingering here too, which is four, but I think that little slide is cool. And there's actually a similar slide in measure 51 where it goes the thumb sliding from the C sharp, which is so black key to the white key, which actually I think is going to work really nicely, but I just don't have it quite ingrained yet. So I haven't quite learned it, but I'm going to put that in there. I think that's going to be fun. So let me show you these little notes that I kind of skimmed over. This is the sort of thing you can see. I just need to practice them. They're a little awkward, but they're not terrible, I don't think. I think they're going to be fine. You know, I mostly just don't know what the notes are. I have to read them. There's a slide. So there's that thing. And then I also wanted to show you in measure 53, there's this kind of cool thing where I think I figured out what's hard about it or what will make it easier. With the left hand, it's a lot of sort of moving position quickly from one to the other. And this one in particular, you know, I can't use my thumb when I play this because I have to be ready to do that. So I need the thumb for this note up here. So you end up using your ring finger here and going down to the pinky. And the problem with that is that this note is a G, which is in between two black keys. So if I have my finger sort of away from me towards the lid of the piano, I get stuck and it's really awkward to get my pinky down to this note. But if I make sure that I have my pinky out on the white, so it's not in between the two black keys, it works. So it takes a little bit of maneuvering to make sure I'm where I want to be for that, but it works once I do it. So I was glad to kind of figure that out. So I wanted to show you how this phrase works here, because this is kind of cool. We're coming out of this sort of thing. No, we're not. This one. There we go. And then here's all this, which I haven't learned yet, as you can hear. And then here, he's doing, you know, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 and then 2 plus 2. So he connects the phraselets together. Phraselet is my own word, not actually a real word. They're just phrases, but they're short phrases. So here, and then these are longer, and then these are short, and then longer, and then it goes, then he doesn't even tell you. And I need to practice this part because I'm never really sure what's happening. And then it lands here. But since we're here, I have to show you this is my favorite, maybe my favorite spot in the piece. Isn't that great? So I still have to do a lot of sort of little group practicing with these little notes and get them in there. But this piece is starting to take shape in my head. So I'm going to memorize the left hand for next week, definitely, and keep practicing the right hand and try and put the whole thing together. And I'm going to play this for you from memory next week. Okay, that's what's going on with that. So another piece that I need to look at the skeleton of, definitely, is 10 number 11. So this is this one. So this is one of the big stretchy pieces. You know, he starts the whole set with this one, where the right hand is doing these really long or wide expanses. And so the right hand really has to stretch and be super flexible. And then number 9 is this one, where the left hand has to be really flexible. So this is all one hand. So you've got to really, really be flexible and move around rapidly and all that. So now we've got one that both hands have to be super, super flexible, which is this. So this is one hand and this is one hand. In this one, the places that are particularly hard have not yet revealed themselves to me, which is, of course, another way of saying that I'm not completely in the thick of practicing it. I've been playing through it a lot, and I'm just kind of enjoying the stretchiness of it. And I've also been thinking about... I can't talk and play at the same time, apparently, when I play this. I've also been thinking about phrase lengths. That some are by themselves, and then some of them are longer. So let me try and show you that, whether instead of just talking you through it. This is actually, I would call this a hard spot, but it's mostly because I just don't really know what I'm doing. I'm still reading. I'm going to let the rest of that go for now. So one thing about this piece is that you'll hear I'm sort of stopping a lot at each stopping place I'm doing. So pretty much it's usually the beginning of each measure. So I'm doing like, and then I'll do these together and then stop. And that's not what he wrote. What he actually wrote, I'm just going to play you the bottom note and the top note, is, so they're all the same note values. That is exactly what I need to memorize. So I need to memorize my outside skeleton like that, because I still am almost relying on muscle memory more than aural memory. Like, there are some places where I sort of play the chord and then go, oh, that sounded nice, instead of really intending the sound that's supposed to happen next. So I definitely need to memorize the skeleton for next week. That's, I think, going to help a lot. I'm not worried so much for right this minute about getting it all in time. I think that if I learn it with the phrasing that he wrote, even if that means for now putting in this extra time, I think I'll be able to get it closer to being in time once I can really play it. And I'm not actually sure that I want to play it completely in time anyway. I think I'm going to maybe give myself license to be a little bit, you know, fuzzy about that. But I'll certainly get it more in time than I'm doing it right now. So next stop for this one is definitely memorizing this. And I'll go ahead and do that in time, because I don't need to put in those extra stops. But I'm also going to continue sort of playing through it slowly, because I do feel like just practicing it is making my hands open and flexible, and it's kind of nice. Okay, 10 number 10, just to back up a little bit. This is this one. Which I totally cannot play the whole thing like that. So actually what I'm practicing right now is I'm just doing chords. Oops. Ah, where is it? There we go. This one I need to memorize, and I need to memorize the version that I just played for you, that chord version. What's going to be hard about this that I don't think I can even do yet, actually, even in this very first part. So this is the whole whether something is three or two. So let me try and do the three thing, but I think it's still going to probably sound like two to you. I bet it still sounded like two, but now let me do the two and maybe you'll hear that that's different. So that's going to be something that's going to be quite tricky to work out, but I'm not even to the point of being able to work that out yet because I still am figuring out where my hands go. I'm still learning the hand positions. There are some really, really cool harmonies going on in this thing, but I am not ready to, it's not there yet. So I'm mostly playing through, you know, this is in the middle. Yeah, see, I'm still, there we go. There's all these really nice sort of surprises where the harmonies go to different places that you don't expect. And then sometimes they do go where you expect, and that's nice too. So I'll play you a memorized version with the chords next week, because once I have that, I think I'll be able to get the details of it better, but I just don't have it yet. It'll come. It'll get there. So that's what I need to do with that. Okay, so now those are the three that are new, and I have two that I have played before in my life that I am starting again. One is a revolutionary etude. It's this one. So I can kind of play it. There's a lot of details that aren't in there that I want to put in there. I think I actually need to go in here and memorize. You'll see a theme here, but I need to sort of memorize the skeleton instead of all the little notes. So for example, I need to just do like... So I haven't quite done that yet, and I know I did that when I worked on the piece before, but it's not in there. So that's going to be something I'm going to do this week. You know, as far as hard places go, one of them that is particularly irritating is in the fourth measure. For some reason, this is fine just from the beginning. It starts here. That's usually fine. But this jump coming right here, this jump from here to here... Well, first time it's that. Maybe that's part of the problem, is that once it goes to there, but once it goes to here, I probably miss that about a quarter or a third of the time. And that might be generous. Maybe I miss it more than that. Let's see. Let me try and get it right. Yeah. See, my pinky isn't sure whether it wants to go to there or there. I got to get that right because, you know, it's pretty much the very beginning of the piece, and that would be a silly place to consistently get wrong or, you know, inconsistently get right if we want to be glass half full about it. So I got to work on that spot. Mostly, you know, most of the little notes places here kind of work, but sometimes it's awkward going from one to the other. Like the transitions are a little strange sometimes. So measure 28, for example, is fine, but then going to this one, that one feels so different from what came before it. So measure 29 is the one that feels really strange. Sorry there. And, you know, the way I just played it, that was fine. But sometimes in context, it just feels a little bit strange. So there aren't so much places in this piece that I just go, oh my gosh, I can't play this. I don't know how to do this. But there are places that are just a little bit fuzzy or just don't quite work when I play through it. So I think my next step that I need to do with this, like I said, is to memorize my skeleton. And that's going to also help me memorize these little details that are different from each version. Let me show you a couple of those so you can see what I'm talking about. You know, our first melody, our big melody is this thing. And then this is the first time. Okay, so that's the first time. Second time, it goes. Right? So first time it's, and the second time it's, and then there's another time where it does this cool thing, which takes a little bit of practice. So the thing that's hard about memorizing when those happen is that, of course, they are improvisatory in feel. Chopin was just an incredible improviser. You know, everybody that writes about him say, oh, his pieces are very nice, but he's an incredible, incredible improviser. So, you know, I can imagine him playing this piece and deciding off the cuff, well, here I'm going to do this and here I'm going to do this. And even if they're a little tricky with the octaves, of course he can do it because he's this wonderful pianist. But even though he was this wonderful improviser, he also took the trouble to write down what happened where. So although I would like, and I think I will, but I would like to play around with the idea of sort of improvising on this a little bit and maybe see what I could come up with for my own melody over this. I need to really play it the way, or I certainly need to be able to play it the way that he wrote it and in the order that he wrote it, because he was really thoughtful about it, even though he probably came up with it improvising. So I'm going to need to do kind of like I did with a fanfare in 10 number 8, this one, which, by the way, is this upside down, right? I mean, not harmonically or anything, but just technically what's going on is kind of upside down. So 10 number 8, this one has these fanfares that go to some place that's different. And this one has this goes to a different place. So I need to memorize that. And, you know, memorizing the skeleton is going to be the way to do that. So revolutionary etude skeleton for next week, I promise. Okay, so then the other one that I'm bringing back is 10 number 3. And this one, I'm almost a little bit intimidated by it for a really dumb reason. This is, I'm pretty sure, the first etude that I learned. I think this is the first etude a lot of people learn. And this is one that everybody knows, and Chopin said it was the most beautiful melody he ever wrote. And I actually haven't been practicing the first page at all because I don't want to kind of get sick of it. And I almost do feel sick of it, even though I haven't been practicing it very much. I'm not sure what to do about that. Like, I think what I'm worried about a little bit is that I'll get really fussy with the details and not end up having a beautiful warm sound and not end up playing it with a beautiful phrasing and sort of emotional content that I want. Anyway, I am going to play this for you now, even though I haven't been practicing the first page much. The second and third pages are where it gets sort of technically interesting. And I'll just tell you right now, I have not made my fingering decisions for measure 38, 39, and 40. So you will hear that, and I'll maybe do a little bit of screaming when I get to that. But let me play this for you. You'll definitely hear what needs work. This is something that I've just started bringing back. Thank you. This is where I haven't made fingering decisions. Practice this enough, clearly. This I've just started working out. So that, of course, is the page I need to practice, and clearly have not enough yet. So that's a really beautiful piece of music, and I need to get myself to where I can play through it without all of the screaming. So I'm mostly just practicing pages 2 and 3, because pages 1 and 4 mostly take care of themselves, although, as I said, I'm a little intimidated by trying to make them be worthy of Chopin calling it the most beautiful melody he ever wrote. Anyway, that is what I'm going to work on for next week. Also, next week, I'm going to start playing through the ones that have been resting. So 10-1, 10-4, 10-5, 10-6, 10-9, and 10-2 and 10-7. I'm going to still have these be the main ones, but I'm going to play through those. Play through them once a day and then leave them alone. And then practice spots that need working on them in the week after that. So that's it, and thank you so much for being my practice buddy. Play It Again Swig is produced in my living room. You can leave comments or questions, which I would love, and find out more at playitagainswig.com.